going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Ben Standing's with us, as he is every Monday and Friday, and a little bit more during draft week. They selected last night Josh Connerly Jr., tackle, Oregon, at number 29 overall. Adam Peters said they were not going to move back, even though there were plenty of opportunities to do so if Connerly Jr. was on the board. At Ben Standig, read him at The Athletic, listen to his podcast, Standig Room Only. So not necessarily a player that we talked a lot about. What was your reaction?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a guy that I talked about and wrote about a bit here and there, but, you know, you get caught up in all the, you know, there's so much going on, and, you know, when they're picking 29 and what are the scenarios, and you still know who's going to be on the board or whatever, but the idea of taking offensive tackle is something I definitely talked about. I'm pretty sure you and I did, and I talked about it with others over the last few days, because it just makes sense, you know, the Laremy Tunsil move was a you know, seismic move and a sign that they really felt they needed to upgrade the offensive line. And then so Brandon Coleman moves to right tackle, and it's like, okay, cool, Brandon Coleman is the right tackle. Where I came at a couple, you know, 2 or 3 weeks ago, was like, well, wait a minute. On the one hand, they've already moved him once, and it's not like they, and like, you know, they were kind of vague about what his role was going to be even when they did it. So sure, if they do nothing else, Brandon Coleman right tackle, that could be interesting without question. But if there's somebody there in the first or second round, well, that player would, in theory, would have been picked higher than where Coleman was. So why wouldn't that person potentially be an upgrade at what is an incredibly important unit, the offensive line? And then when I looked at, you know, took like a 30,000 view look of the draft boards, and, you know, our guy Dane Brugler, he had Josh Connerly number 23 overall, but he had him as like his fourth offensive tackle, and he basically had six offensive tackles in his top like 26 or something like that. And then the eighth best offensive tackle was 79 on his board. In other words, if you wanted to get one, you had to go early. And if we, you know, you look what happened last night, there were eight offensive linemen in total that went in the first round. It sounds like that a lot of teams were calling to trade up to try to get ahead of, well, not necessarily ahead of Washington. I don't know if they knew that Washington was doing that, but they were trying to get into the first round to get Connerly. I think even one of my mock draft scenarios, I had a deal where the Bears, who we know need a left tackle, and thinking they wouldn't get one in the first round, but they have a good ammunition on day two that they could trade up to Washington. And that's thinking, hey, would the Commanders want to trade down, you know, with that mindset, get more picks? So I even, like, you know, was making those types of trades for like a Connerly in mind. At the end of the day, though, the offensive tackle class is pretty thin, and Peters essentially acknowledged this yesterday when I asked about it, whereas the edge class, which obviously has been talked about the most, runs a lot deeper. And there are guys that were still on the board today. There'll be guys on early day three. who will be considered pretty good edge rushers. It's just that because there's so many guys at that spot that are considered viable, it just you get more guys get pushed down. Or on the flip side, the offensive tackles and the offensive linemen got pushed up yesterday. I mean, seeing guards go as high as they did is an indication of that as well.
Right.
So, I think it's a combination of playing the board, and then obviously, look, clearly they like the talent. They didn't, you can't just force the position. That's where you get into trouble. They like the talent. Connery was a 2-year starter at left tackle. He had some really good evaluations. I've seen pre-draft, athletic. He did a good job, Peter pointed out, against a head-to-head matchup against Abdul Carter, the Penn State defensive end who went third. So there's a lot to like, I think, with this pick. And at the end of the day, the number one priority has got to be help boost Jaden Daniels. And this is in line for doing that.
Yeah, the people that don't like it, let me just tell you, if Josh Connerly doesn't start like early in the season, and let's just say Wiley does start and Coleman's the guard or whatever, or Coleman starts, that's not a reason to freak out. Like, often these guys take a little bit of time. He's not going to play left tackle. He's going to play a side in which he played at the Senior Bowl but didn't actually play in games that mattered. So there could be an adjustment. I'm just throwing it out there. And you made a really good point, about just the idea that maybe Connerly and Simmons were the last of kind of the tackles before you probably were going to have to wait a little bit on tackle. And so 8 offensive linemen went in the first round. 3 true guards, went in the first round. That's definitely unusual, I think, although more people are emphasizing interior offensive linemen. Just out of curiosity, because we were texting back and forth, but I don't think we did it right before the pick last night. Who did you think they were going to – were you thinking Scorton was a chance? What did you think was going to happen when they were on the clock? And there were a lot of, opportunities, including 2 guys who had fallen in Will Johnson and Mike Green.
Yeah, I mean, how do I say – so I think – there's like sort of 2 parts of my brain. There's the mock draft. Oh, this guy's rated higher than this guy. And, we talked a lot about edge rushers, so my brain is sort of going there. But like the part of my brain that says, how do you maneuver a draft, kind of went through what we just discussed in terms of like the positional values. Like there's just some positions that are just going to be, harder to find later and, to maximize the full value of the draft. Like I will say, and I wish I had sort of leaned more into this, every time I did a mock draft, because I always do 2 rounds because they want to get a feel for what else is behind, the first round. So, for this idea, where the strengths and weaknesses are, where the tiers are, things like that. Every time I went to the second round, if I took defensive end first and went to the second, not that there weren't some potentially good players, and not that whatever I was thinking in terms of player order was accurate completely, but I was always struggling more to find the best fit, I thought, for the team. Whereas if I went any other position in the first round, tackle, running back, or whatever, the second round pick always felt better because I would typically go with an edge rusher. And, that guy, I've heard good things, like the UCLA defensive end, Femi Oladejo was a guy that I always kind of gravitated towards him, and there's a few other guys. So, I wasn't sitting there. We were waiting in the auditorium waiting for the pick to get announced and talk to the player, and I had to write stuff. So my brain wasn't sitting there on my couch thinking what's going to happen. But, as much as we talked about Ezeraku and Scorton and some others, this, again, was a draft where these guys could go 19, 20, or they could fall into the 40s. This is just how this year is. And, the first round, by the way, really played out that way. I would say that, honestly, the pre-draft buzz, so to speak, was way off this year in terms of, like, the order of players and like, the teams, like, what teams would potentially do. But part of that is because of the unsettled nature of this class. Like there was just no consensus on anything in terms of where certain players were valued and so on. So it was just hard to figure out what they were going to do, but we knew the obvious positions, and to me tackle was kind of one of them.
Yeah, there were two things that I thought about when the first round ended last night. Number one was I thought I should have considered more about the trade-up opportunity for a quarterback being before the Rams pick, so with Houston. Because there was a lot of conversation about the Rams selecting a quarterback. And so that was the spot, not 29, not below the Rams, if you wanted Jackson Dart or Shedeur Sanders. And the Giants went right in front of the Rams. And then the Rams promptly traded to the pick because I have a feeling that they were probably interested in Jackson Dart. And then the other thing, too, in listening to Adam Peters, is that Kansas City was always going to be in the market for an O-lineman if there was a good one on the board. And to your point, if you didn't take a tackle, you know, early, especially after we saw eight linemen go off the board, three guards, five tackles, by the end of the first round anyway. And my sense is, and I'm wondering if you feel the same way, when he said we had opportunities to move back, but we weren't assured that Connerly would be there, Kansas City had him teed up at 31. They then traded back because they didn't, you know, with Philly. Philly traded up one spot to get Campbell. I'm not so sure if they had both stayed in the same spot, they wouldn't have gotten the player that they wanted. But do you think that that's the team that he was probably eyeballing as if we were to move into the second round, pick up another pick, we lose Connerly to Kansas City?
I think he was concerned if they traded out, the team that they traded with would take Connerly. I mean, like, people didn't necessarily know what Washington was looking to do. It was, you know, they're pretty stealthy. Again, because of this rush, you know, of linemen, that, you know, this is what teams were looking to do. I mean, I definitely wrote about it and talked about it on my podcast, and probably again with you, that, like, sure, we all talk about, hey, if there's quarterbacks there, that's how teams trade up, whatever. But when I started to look at the board and seeing the depth or the lack thereof at tackle, my tune changed to both quarterback and offensive tackle. And like whenever I was doing my mock drafts in where I would come up a scenario with trading down, including some of the ones I put on The Athletic, it was never to a team – well, maybe I shouldn't say there, it was never to a team – for quarterback. It was always for offensive tackle. It was for the Bears, the Browns or the Bears or teams like that, because, you know, either Shedeur was going to go earlier or like if like the Giants. Like, I know Adam Peters said the other day he's not afraid to make trades within the division. And maybe he wouldn't have been afraid of Jackson Dart, but like, you don't trade with a team in your division who's going for a quarterback. That will haunt you if that guy works out more than another position. So the Giants and Washington were never going to make a trade, right? So who's making a trade to trade up for Washington? It would have to be somebody wanting a different position, and that position would – the only other one I saw that made sense was offensive tackle, because defensive end, there's still tons of guys out there. So, when three tackles won the first nine picks, I mean, I think that also helped set the stage. It's not like they – got pushed back, and therefore maybe then Connerly is there in the second round, you know, that type of deal.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Yeah, I mean, there was a bit of an expectation, certainly, on Campbell and Membu going in the top, you know, seven or eight. I don't know if Kelvin
like Banks. He, I mean, he got there late this last week. Again, it's always important to remember, and you know, there's no real such thing as risers and fallers. All that is really happening is the public, which is that includes the draft analysts we all talk about, they are miles behind the teams. Like, right. At the end of the day, they don't know about medicals. They don't know about necessarily all the background checks. If the people who were on the outside talking about the draft were as good as some may think, they would be in the buildings, not talking about the buildings. So,
if people really were hitting at 75% on their wagers, they wouldn't be selling the picks. They'd actually be retired somewhere. Real quickly, though, before we get to tonight, what really surprised you, if anything, about the first round? And I understand what you just said. We don't know anything, and that's true.
Sure.
But I have one thing that surprised me. What surprised you?
Well, I mean, this isn't my answer. I mean, the Travis Hunter trade, just like, wow, okay, you know, that's just a bold trade for both sides. But Atlanta trading back in the first round for James Pierce, even if you said to me, hey, they're comfortable with whatever concerns or questions there might be, but they love the talent, okay. But to give up a first-round pick, like the Giants didn't give up a first-round pick for Jackson Dart, a quarterback.
Exactly.
To give up a first-round pick, the crazy thing is the Falcons, they have needed pass rushers forever. Last year, instead, they took a quarterback, and we know that whole story. So I just thought that was a bizarre one, that they gave up a first-round pick, and that was the one to me. I was like, what the heck?
Yeah, I mean, look, for all we know, you know, like you were saying, the due diligence and what it uncovers, maybe Pierce Jr. was a much better situation than everybody had talked about going into it. That doesn't change the fact that you gave up a lot more to go up to a spot below the spot the Giants went up to draft a quarterback. Doesn't make any sense to me. That was the head scratcher. All right, let's focus on.
By the way, with Washington. So Peter said he was nervous about Connor going off the board as high as the top 12 picks that he was concerned. And obviously, there were a lot of linemen. I think one thing that was probably a bit overlooked in general last night was the good fortune Washington had that the two trades right in front of them, Houston at 25 and the Rams at 26, were two teams that people were pegging four offensive line potentially. Texans, everybody had that, and the Rams, it was sort of like they could. And the fact that those two teams traded out and the teams that came in went quarterback, pass rusher, may have been what ultimately gave Washington and Connerly, because if those teams stay.
If Connerly had gone to, let's just say, Houston, who stayed at 25, who do you think the pick would have been for Washington at 29? Do you think he would have accepted the offers and traded back?
I would guess. I mean, I don't imagine it was like Connor was the only guy that they were like completely confident that they would pick. But I feel like that the trade back, always feels like it's the way to go. You know, just depends on what we don't know what the trades are. But yeah, I would guess trade. If not, again, the pass rushers that we've talked about were there, and so probably that. But yeah, I just think that scenario really may have saved them if they wanted Connor.
All right, so the fact that they took an offensive lineman and they haven't taken an edge, and there are a bunch of edges left, plenty that we've talked about over the last several weeks. What do you think happens tonight? First of all, do they stay at 61?
Well, if they want more picks, I think this is the one you have to trade down. Getting more picks is not just saying, they got two extra sevens. I mean, seventh-round picks are people too, but that's not typically where you're going to find the real contributors for a team. So if you want to do that, I think they got to trade at 61. And the good thing is in this draft, again, where the talent gap is pretty minimal, the first 100 or 150 picks, is that when they're in, if they're in round three, round four, maybe early round five, they'll still get people that will get a lot of praise and attention. But, this guy is, legit. I mean, with defensive ends, there's so many guys. I think, again, Dane Brugler had, I believe, 24 in his first four rounds. So it's not just that. That shows that there's guys who are going to get picked later here. later today, tomorrow, that that were worthy of being picked higher, but they just get pushed back to the depth. So, you know, I would think if they stick and pick, I would say, you know, edge rusher remains the most likely need, but, you know, cornerback is there, and at some point I would still think they're going to get an offensive playmaker. But trading down to me would be, you know, again, it's hard to say it's my best bet, but like that to me would seem to be what Peters wants the most, unless there is another prospect that they say, hey, if this guy's on the board, we have no choice but to take him.
Let's just say they stick at 61. Do you have somebody mocked to Washington at 61?
Well, you know, now it gets tricky, right? It's one thing the first round, but, you know, things go off the rails when it comes to figuring out what teams are valuing now, or, you know, which players. But, like, just to name a few guys that we mentioned, you know, some of these pass rushers, I would think that Ezeraku is off the board. I would guess that Scorton's off the board. I mentioned Oladejo from UCLA, somebody that I believe they've shown interest in. So I think, you know, he would make sense. But, you know, look, he was even a guy that was getting some, you know, light first-round buzz at various points. So he could be gone as well. You know, I don't know that Benjamin Morrison, the cornerback from Notre Dame, is going to be there, because he's in one of these many cornerbacks that has had, again, possible first-round buzz. But I think that's somebody to keep an eye on.
Yep.
I've talked before about Siobhan Revelle, the cornerback from East Carolina. First-round talent, but he's older than the average rookie coming up in ACL. Maybe he slides a bit to that point. A random flyer I'll throw out here, this is on the offensive side, is TCU wide receiver Savion Williams. He's kind of like a bigger, faster, younger Debo Samuel, so maybe that's ultimately a bit redundant, but I think that could be a really, really, really fun chess piece for a guy like Cliff Kingsbury to have. And I'll just throw in as a side piece, this guy is repped by Cliff Kingsbury's agent, which has nothing to do with what Adam Peters will do, but I'm just saying there's got to be even a little bit more of a insight into this player, who's probably more of a round three guy, but, you know, I think there's some possibilities there. And then, you know, this is what, you know, then when the best player available kicks in, if there's a safety that they like, if there's a, you know, even tight end, you know, and I can start getting a little more into that, you know, a defensive tackle may be the deepest position in this group. And while we wouldn't think of that as a need for necessarily 2025, you know, beyond Johnny Newton, that room is very open next year. So, you know, that could be something they say, hey, the position value here is too good. Whether it's a guy that's a Shamar Turner, this was a Darius Alexander from Toledo. Like, there's a few guys that I think could make sense. So, again, it's I think trade down makes the most sense, but they'll have options across the board at all the positions.
What would make the fan base pull their hair out the most at 61? Another offensive lineman, clearly.
Oh, 100%. I don't know. I mean, it's probably more along the lines of, like, somebody with a big name they've heard of is sitting there, and instead they take a player at another position or the same position that is less heralded, you know, smaller school or you know, just didn't play out, wasn't on your television every Saturday, something like that. I mean, look, I'm probably the wrong person to guess what's going to outrage the fan base, because I look at everything to me would be reasonable that they could attack almost any position. So I don't know what would be annoying, but, you know, something that's not a celebrated position and a player that doesn't get a lot of hype would probably be, but I would imagine would annoy people.
Yeah. All right. Good job. Appreciate it. I'll talk to you this weekend.
Yeah, man. See ya.
Ben Standing, everybody. Tonight will be interesting. The opportunity to trade back. Remember, they've got 61. That's at the end of the second round. So if you trade back, you're probably out of the second round, more likely than not. And what you're hopefully into is the third round, because you're not in that round right now. And then maybe you are also in the fourth round for a second time with a trade back. The positions that I think they'll do well on Saturday or late tonight in round three are positions that we've talked a lot about: edge, corner, running back, and even wide receiver to a certain degree. But they may feel like their best opportunity is to trade back and take another tackle or another guard. That would just be funny at this point. I think we have a really good shot of a corner, edge, running back, wide receiver tonight with one of those picks. I'd be actually very surprised if it doesn't come from that group, although I guess I wouldn't rule out tight end. When we come back, a longtime NFL coach absolutely loves Josh Connerly. You'll hear what he said next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game, like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way, with stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.